All right, before we get into today's episode, I wanted to give everyone a heads up that the live event guest passes will be going on sale very, very soon in the next few weeks. And many, many, many of you have been asking about them. So I wanted to let all of you know that we are listening and we are getting ready to release those to you. In a few short weeks, we will be releasing our guest speaker for the May live event. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Someone who is a world-class entrepreneur, best-selling author, and just an absolutely fantastic get for us in the Rehab Cairo community. To give you a little bit more insight into what we will be speaking about in May at the live event, 18th and 19th here in New Jersey, we are going to be going about all about your perfect patient. We want you to be able to understand exactly who your perfect customer is and how to speak to them in a way that they are going to not only become a patient of yours, but they are willing and happy to pay the prices that you want. So many of you get price objections and you think it's because where you live or what type of practice you have. But the reality for most of you, it's because you have not communicated with your clients and patients in a way to have them buy something that they actually want. You need to understand how to put yourself in a category of one. If you are getting price shopped with other chiropractors, physical therapists, acupuncturists, healthcare providers in your area, it is because you do not understand your customer, you do not understand what you're selling, and you have not communicated to them how they should buy. This switch in thinking is something that will make you seven figures in the course of your career. And if you don't figure it out, you are going to be forever broke, frustrated, and burnt out in your practice from now until the end of time. And I don't want that for you. So May 18th and 19th here in New Jersey, it is going to be world class, as all of our events are and always will be. I can promise you that. If nothing else, you will get around a group of high achievers in the community. And we don't accept BS and we don't accept negative thinking. So you are going to be put in an environment where you'll be forced to grow, forced to be in a position to be successful. I can't wait to see each and every one of you there. Next week, I will preview some of the other sessions that we have going on. We have a full slate. So again, I could not be more excited, and be ready because those guest passes will come out in a matter of weeks. Today's episode, we have a repeat guest, Dr. Angela Francis out of Rhode Island. And this may sound familiar to you because she has been on the podcast before. She is someone who joined our program, our community, 7 months, I believe, before she was ever in business. And she took off like a rocket ship. So I interviewed her back then because she was doing so well. And then as we talk about in the episode, she almost had so much success so quickly and she wasn't ready for it. And so she had a period of time that was challenging for her because it's almost like her mind and body needed to catch up to the business that she had created, a victim of her own success. You can also thank her for this latest series of episodes. Angie is someone who I will listen to because when she says it, it's usually true, which is a great quality that she has. She said to me about 6 or 8 weeks ago, you know, Justin, people really enjoy when you have guests on the podcast, you should interview some more people. And so I listened to her and now we're here. So she was one of the people that I knew I wanted to interview again. She asked me if she should be on it again. And I said, absolutely, because of how she explains things, how she's able to share and communicate, and just the level of honesty and integrity that she has. She is someone that I believe is such a leader in our profession and that we just love having around in our community. So for all of you guys that have been listening to the podcast for a while, I think this is going to be such a valuable episode for you because you will go and hear the difference between Angie of, you know, a year and a half ago and the Angie of today. It's amazing to watch her grow, and I think you will understand and see the same. I can't wait to see all of you in May, but until then, enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you soon. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Business School for the Rehab Chiropractor. Class is officially in session. My name is Justin Rabinowitz, and I am a rehab chiropractor on a mission to teach you, a fellow rehab chiropractor, the exact tools and systems I've used to build my own successful rehab chiropractic practice so you can do the same. I hope you enjoy, and please subscribe. Dr. Angela Francis, tell me the number one mindset shift you've had since pre-Biz 101 Mastermind to today.
The biggest shift I've had, I definitely have a higher level of thinking, thanks to you. And it's that confidence that I have now compared to when I first started. As you know, I was very hesitant at first. And like you always preach, speed kills. And I wasn't fast at first in certain ways, but I've definitely, I've learned a couple lessons along the way. Love and it. This year feels definitely different from the Good. First year.
And we'll dive into that. Before we do, tell us where you're located, when you graduated, and what chiropractic school you went to.
So I am located in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. My practice is Synergy Chiropractic and Sports Rehab. And I went to University of Bridgeport.
When did you graduate?
May 2021.
May 2021. So we're still in it only, what, 3 years? A 3-year anniversary in a few months?
Yeah.
And how long have we had our own practice?
Since October 22.
Got it. All right. So that's to set the scene. And for the audience out there, you probably have heard Dr. Angie because she was an original guest on the podcast and one of the most listened to episodes of all time, to the point that I replayed it because I just want listens. And you're good on audio. So we had you, so we're having you back for a part two. Now, there's a little context here that I want to bring back. So we had you on because you started out and you did unbelievable to start, as slow as whatever stuff you just said, not really true, because you got your practice started and you made a lot of money quickly and you had patience and it was good and it was great. And then you sort of hit the wall.
I did.
Talk about that. What happened?
Yeah. So I did really well. Like my schedule, I did even better the second full month. And I was pretty full going into January, February. March was a very busy month for me too. Now at the same time, I'm still working a part-time. I'm not taking any money from the business. You know, I'm reinvesting it. I'm doing what I need to do. But I was very burnt out. I mean, I'm working 6 days a week. Sometimes on that seventh day, I have to do stuff for Synergy. And it was a lot. And you think you can do everything by yourself and you cannot. Mm-hmm.
What does a lot mean? Talk to maybe a student or someone that's potentially opening their business. When you say a lot, obviously you have to treat a patient, but mm-hmm. what is the rest of it that all that entails?
So there's a process going into opening a business, right? And it's all the little details of like, get your LLC, you want to get your accounts, you want to do this, you want to make sure you have that accountant advisor is behind you. And don't take that for granted. They do help so much, especially a good accountant. And so now we can, all that's out of the way, right? We have the space, we got all those details. You know, now it's like, we got to look at the org chart. Org chart, we got marketing, sales, operations, finance. You wear every single hat. And on top of that, if you're also working a part-time because you need to offset some salary, okay, that is a lot to handle as one person. You know, I used to personal train on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and then it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday devoted to Synergy. Now, I got full on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I was full Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So and that is just the operations part.
Let me pause for the audience because I know, just to give them context, when we say operations in the business, what does that mean? It means like doing the thing, like treating the patient, answering the phone, scheduling, that would all fall in that, like that operations category. So keep going.
Correct. So when you're completely full, what's the rest of the org chart, right? So we have marketing. I was not doing any marketing. It was very minimal. It was like, oh, I have 10 minutes here. Let me post something. Oh, okay. You know, Tuesday from maybe like 1 to 3, I'd go meet another clinician or someone in the community. It was very sporadic. I couldn't plan the way I wanted to. And then it would start to get my mood really, really down because I knew I could do more, but then you're nervous to take away money and all this stuff. So then you realize you start getting no's. And yeah, that can be a ding to you and your confidence, but then you're like, well, I got to work on sales. But when did I have time to really practice sales, maybe with other people or, you know, with people in the group or watch all the videos? I could not find my time to do that. And then there's finance and you got to keep your books in order. And, you know, as time goes on, you wait till Sunday to look at your books and start putting things in, you forget some of the stuff that happened. So your organization just goes down the drain when you have a lot of that going on.
And so when you sort of, you know, we're feeling it, so to speak, and I don't know, rock bottom seems dramatic, but I know it was tough for a while. Was there a moment or something that happened that started to pull you out of it? Was there a realization? What happened?
It was, so in hindsight, I wish I actually hired someone back in March. That's now though. But at that moment, I woke up one day and I was exhausted. And I'm like, I had to change something. Like, imagine if I put, I'm like, I'm doing so well now. Imagine how much if I put into marketing, what I could actually do. So that's when I was just like, you know what? I have to let down my clients' personal training and let them know I have to get on this. I'm 100% in this. Yeah. So
I think, so you're doing the 3 days a week and you're doing 2 days of personal training. And I think there's a few things to dive into here that will resonate with the audience. You know, the first thing to understand that all of us listening to this podcast, we do what we do because we genuinely want to help others. And I know that's almost like said in passing, because it's so normal for us, because that's where we are. Whereas, you know, on Wall Street, stereotypically, like they're there to make money. Like that is what they do. We are in healthcare because we essentially get our rocks off by helping other people, which means that if we can't, we feel like we're going to let them down and disappoint them. And so I think that the recognition for everyone listening and for ourselves is that if we can't, we're going to let ourselves down if we're afraid to let others down. And so really the delay or the slowness was that you were essentially acting in the person that you are, which makes you so successful, but it can also be your downfall. And I think that for most of us, there's a truth in there somewhere of that the thing that got us here, it's usually our superpower, can also affect us the other way. Like you do so well in business because you genuinely care about the people that you're working with tremendously, but it's anything good can go wrong, right? Anything that is good can go bad. And I think that, again, objectively, as we grow ourselves and our business, they always go hand in hand. It's recognizing that where am I going to get into trouble? And so if I was coaching you right now, what I would say is that the only way that you screw it up, Angie, is that you don't understand that situation will come up again. It will be wearing different clothes and it will look a little bit different, but it will be the same. And so what might that be? It might be an employee that you have who it's not the right fit for and they shouldn't be doing it. And you're afraid to let them down and you keep them around 6, 8, 12 months longer than they should. It affects you. It affects the business and it affects them, and nobody, it's not doing anyone favors. And I think that's the point, that higher level that we start to kind of get where we understand that that situation isn't in isolation. That person that doesn't want to let people down, Angie, rejection, whatever, like that is who you are. We don't need to change it. We just need to be aware of it and just not understand that it's not going to happen. So that would be my sort of 2 cents on that. I also, it's interesting when I get to talk to you because you've been in our world for so long and your level of thought is so high now that that's why I had to stop you and say org chart, like give us an explanation. And the reason why is because part of the problem that I know I face is that I make you aware of all of the problems that you have in your business. Whereas as you were talking, I was almost like laughing a little bit because 90% of the chiropractors out there, they never thought of it as an org chart. They never thought, they just treat patients. That's what they do. And for you, you knew that there were other things in this business, marketing and sales and finance, that all needed to happen. And you knew that they weren't being executed, which puts you in that position of like something has to change. And then the final thing that I'll say before we sort of go to the next thing, because you tell such good stories and have such insight, is that sort of that moment where you say no more. A lot of our patients are in that boat too. And understanding that from a marketing standpoint, you know, I talked to someone before and it was, oh, why didn't that patient commit to a plan? It was like, they're not ready yet. Really, the answer is it's not bad enough yet. And so again, for me and in coaching you, I would say for you and the audience out there, I think to be a higher level human's a bad word, to reach a higher level of consciousness in life is that we don't always need to get there. Like how does Angie not have to get to that no more moment? Like 3 to 6 months earlier that I've always said, I don't like to drink because I don't know how to feel like that the next day. It's like that one step before it gets that bad, let me just make a decision so I don't have to put my hand on the fire and get burned. And I think that for all of us, there's lessons in this to sort of learn. As I said in the Facebook group or the Slack channel, you know, the business, the work works on you more than you work on it. And those are the lessons that we're taking at every step of the way. Like, I mean, I want to get this other example, like in marriage, right? How many people talk about their marriage? The first time they discuss it is when they're in therapy, ready for a divorce. It's like, this would have been useful 6 years ago when it started. So all of us have these moments where we can sort of take them and move them along. So let's go. So you understood that you needed to fill the org chart, started with that. So who was the first hire that you made? What did you do? What changed?
So when I did leave the training, I actually was still by myself though.
Okay. And talk through that.
So I was just like, okay, well, I just need to drop a job and I'm going to be fine. I'm going to go in this 100%. So I went into it 100% and it was going well. I still felt burnt out though. Like there was still like that residual, like uneasy feeling. Now I have to really support myself. So there was a lot of roller coaster emotions in the first year. And I think, you know, I listened to Layla Hormozi a lot and she really pinpointed it, like, and I wanted to address it today, like being in business can be hard, especially if you're alone, you know, and that was something we talked about too, is why I didn't want to give up the community at the gym, because it was a community. Mm-hmm. I was with people. Coming in here, I'm alone. I'm alone in my office. And so when you're doing all that, like I truly think the first year is such a roller coaster of emotions because, you know, 1 month you're super confident in yourself. The next month you're not. And you're like, what am I doing this for? You know, you let money be your driver too of your success. And it doesn't mean like that is, it should never be like that. Granted, the money makes the world go round. So we need it. But it was still really hard for me the next couple months after that, because like I said, my emotions would be too high or they'd be too low. There was no in between. And I want to tell people, like, you have to separate your emotions from the business. You have to look at numbers. You have to do that. And like, and that's what I really want to tell people, that like going in your first year.
Dive into that a little bit more. You said separate emotions from business, but give me more context of what that actually means to you.
So like, especially what we do, we're going to get no's, right? For example, you're going to get rejected. Like that does not reflect on you, like you said. Like it's okay, you know, you get better at sales, yes, but it's not the end of the world. you have to go get better, like learn from your mistake, go get better at sales, or go do a better marketing message, right? So when you start to get past that rejection phase in this business, you're just like, okay, whatever. Like let's go get another no, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's go face this head on. But make it to where it's a lesson where you're going to get better. Like, mm-hmm. All right, like where did I screw up? Oh, I suck. All right. That's why. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Next one, I'm going to conquer this. So, that was something, or if I didn't hit my revenue, I was like, I'd freak out. I'd mm-hmm. absolutely freak out. And I'm just like, you know, instead of just looking at that now, like I should have looked at my other numbers. Like, okay, what were my marketing units? They weren't high. Because I was burnt out. I just didn't have it in me to go do it. Like, suck it up. This is, you want to run a business. This is what you have to do. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, take the emotion out, run the numbers, and it would correlate. I would, you know, 1 month I do really good with marketing. The next month I'd have an amazing revenue month. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, stop letting your hormonal issues happen. Like, just look at the numbers and know what you have to do.
I think that I love what you're saying. And I think there's a couple layers to this as we can dissect. The first thing that you talked about is know your numbers. But I think the next layer of where you got to is the answer that we try to preach. I say it all the time. And I know people like nod their head yes. And it like they get it, but they don't get it. In that when I say know your numbers, that doesn't only mean the revenue or the numbers in the bank. Like that is a number and it is important. I'm not saying it isn't, but that is the outcome. right? And if you don't do the inputs, you're not going to get the right output. And so, Angie, what you said is if we can trick ourselves, we literally have to trick ourselves into looking at the controllables, which are the inputs, which are the marketing units and the amount we're training sales and the amount of opens we're doing on Instagram and the amount of gyms we're speaking in and the amount of people we're getting in front of. Those are the only things that we truly, truly, truly can control in this business. Now, most of the time, from our experience, as you stated, when you control the inputs well, the output is going to take care of itself. Eventually, maybe not today, but eventually it will. And I think that you can be hormonal. I'm good. You can be emotional. I don't care. But be emotional about the inputs, not the outputs. Like, I would rather you be mad at yourself because you didn't do your marketing units, because we could, that's a decision, right? That is a decision that you're making. There, you could do everything right and have a great whatever, and you still might not always make the money you want for whatever reason. The credit card processor might break. Like, that is a possibility. And so I think that again, I'm going to say it here. People are going to be like, I like that. And they see it on Instagram. Focus on the process. Be a process. And like, they write it down, but it's hard. It's very, very hard. But if we can, it's discipline, I think, to understand that number one, you need to know your numbers. Number two, I need to know what numbers I need to know. And number three, that it's more so the ones I can control is the input, the action, not the output, which is the income typically or the profit. And so for me, that's where I would say like the coaching comes in, is to pound it into your heads of like, yes, that, like, yes, those are the things, because you're saying all the right things, but getting to that point is often significantly more challenging. Let's move forward a little bit. And so as you grow and as the business grows, we look at an org chart, and traditionally an org chart means what people sit where. And as you mentioned correctly, it's in the beginning when you own the business, you sit in every seat. And so the next step was, how do I find someone to help me at least part-time or something to do, to outsource something in the business? So what was your next move?
So end of September, I hired a marketing assistant. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I wish I hired her back in March, even when I had the two jobs.
Well, it probably would have been better in March because you had the two jobs.
Yep. It would have been amazing. So she took over like CRM system, optimized that. And what'd she do? Helped me with social, just the media side. And I can't, the stuff she did for me for Black Friday would have taken me 40 hours.
Let's dive in a little bit here. This is great. And I want to do this with people that are in practice and solo and afraid. You know, I think one of the challenges is when you've never hired people or you've had a bad hire, we look at it as an N of one. It's like, if I give them money, like, I'm losing money. And I get it. Like, I understand. But what you're talking about and what I want to teach all of you guys is that when you hire someone, you're supposed to pay them to help you grow more. Now, it's hard because you're literally in the beginning. It's like, I'm giving them $3,000 of my money with what am I trying to get out of it? So talk about a little bit through like maybe some of that realizations or some of the growth of the business. What, like, tactically were you able to put out into the universe, whether it's marketing material, whether it's Black Friday, like, what were the things that this person was able to aid you in that you didn't or couldn't do on your own?
Yeah. So first off, yeah, it is hard to come to terms with you're about to give away your money. That's an extra, like, oh, I can go take a weekend somewhere. Get over it. You're fine. don't speed kills, right? Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Just like, if you already know you feel like you should hire someone, go for it, especially if your numbers say so. I kind of forgot what you said, but she put out like all the emails for me that I didn't have the creativity to do. Like, so she was helping me on a creative side that I just mm-hmm. couldn't tap into, because after the year that I had, I was like, I have nothing left in the tank right now. And mm-hmm. she was almost like accountability for me because she needed stuff on my end. And I'm like, okay, I gotta get this to her. So I honestly have become more efficient since, and it was like, and you know, you've said a bunch of times, right? Like, you ingrain this in us where you're like, you can get really sloppy by yourself. You gotta mm-hmm. set your goals. You have to set your time blocks. You have to set deadlines for yourself. Justin, I've been hearing you say this since what, April of 2022? Like, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you have to learn for yourself. Like, and trust me, I've taken everything from you. Like, you've helped me grow to a level of myself too that I never thought that I could even get to personally. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that I'm just like, all right, like this was a lesson that I needed to learn on my own. And I did. And so now, you know, fast forward, I just hired her full time instead of waiting. And I could convince myself another 6 months, like, no, I want that profit. No way.
Yeah.
I
love it. And I think the key point that you mentioned, which like when you're solo, I try to like get people to see it and to like try it, is I know things about you guys that I see that you guys don't really see. And this isn't like an argument. It's just the facts. Like you guys, I'm lucky in the type of coaching that I do, in that some of my friends own like gym masterminds, and there's nothing wrong with fitness. And there's a lot of people that are world-class business owners, but the barrier of entry to own a gym is low. And what that means is that you might get people, you never know, that they might have not even graduated high school. They might have not had to go through the process of going certain bullshit basically to get into gym ownership. And they might literally not have what it takes to be able to operate a business and to be accountable and to show up on time. And like, not always, and I'm stereotyping, but it's just in order to get to into my group as a chiro, there's a certain amount of bullshit. There's a certain amount of accountability. There's a certain amount of responsibility that every single person needs. And so when I look at that, I know like you had to show up to class enough. You had to understand how to play the game enough. You had to study in a way enough that knew that you could pass the test and pass the boards. And even if you cheated, you still had to figure out how to do that. Right. So all of those things happen. So I know that coming in, that if something or someone, you know how to play the game. And the reason I say that is because when you go into business specifically by yourself, it's a free for all. For some people, having another person, as you're mentioning, is that it just creates that structure and stability that you already prove that you thrive with. And so at some point, I don't care that you're tired and I don't care that you're burnt out. I know that because of who you are and you got to this point, that independent of that, if your marketing assistant needs 5 minutes of videos, you're going to get it to them. And for a lot of people, that's what they need, right? Now, I think the next step and one of the disciplines that I have with myself is that I want to produce at the same level personally, because that's my standard. Now, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier when I know that I have 12 mouths to feed, right? Because if I don't figure it out, like it's Armageddon. And going back to who we are as people, we care a lot about people. I care about my team. And so I would feel horrible if I didn't do my part and it affected them. And so I think we've got to figure out how to use those to our advantage. So you, I think, understand that now, but I encourage people to sort of hack the system a little bit and say, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to because I need to be held accountable. I need to like put my ass on the line and pay someone who can only do the work if I actually get them the things to do. And so I don't know. I think it's a great insight and a great lesson. So you have done an amazing job of creating, you know, a women's sort of health clinic. And I want to dive back into that a little bit. It's actually going to be our live event in May, like sort of niche development. Talk to us about how you determined that this was the way that you wanted to go and the types of patients you wanted to treat.
When I went the traditional route, I was practicing up in Massachusetts. I ended up seeing a lot of pregnant women, like kind of by accident. I just had the Webster technique. So I was like, okay, this is cool. But then I noticed like they stopped doing activity and I'm like, what are you doing? Right. So that made me dive into it more. And then when I was like, okay, I'm going to create my own opportunity in Rhode Island. I started getting into the postpartum as well. So I started diving into that and I'm like, wow, there's no support for this. Like a lot of the women I've already talked to about postpartum, they're like, they don't know any of this stuff that I talk about. And I'm like, wow. So I use I've been a coach for 10 years, right? And then between the chiropractic, and then I'm like, okay, like I've taken other PT certifications, and then I started doing a lot more women's health certifications, like putting that in there. I just noted such a it's just been amazing what I could do for postpartum women, especially. Like, that has been so fun. And yeah, obviously I do the pregnant women, but I still see them pregnancy and then postpartum to make sure that they're on the right track. And it's just the knowledge that the lack of knowledge that there is out there for postpartum women on how to return to exercise and how their body has changed afterwards. It's just, especially C-section. It's a major abdominal surgery. There's no follow-up care. There's no physical therapy scripts. But if you get a finger and you go do operation on a finger, people are in BP. And it's just like, can someone explain this? So it's been so fun to just, you know, relay that knowledge to my community.
Yeah. So. It almost sounds, as you're speaking about it, and this is actually good, you're helping me curate ideas for May. It almost sounds, as you're speaking, like it's so obvious. It's so obvious that there's a need that it's almost silly that, like, I can't believe, like, it's almost like I can't believe. And so I'll give you, I resonate with what you're saying. Because the business that you are a client of is the exact same story. Yeah. It's like, wait, what? Nobody's talking about this. Like, no one's teaching anyone to do this. Like, it just, we're just going to go on the rest of our lives and think that this is okay to do this. And it's like, what the heck? How is this a thing? And so I resonate with what you're saying, because that's been my experience doing the coaching, is that it's just a black hole. And so to me, it almost sounds like step one of a niche development is, like, if it feels easy and logical, it's probably like we're in the right place. Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
And then the next thing that I want to touch on, and it'll be a good review for everyone here as far as niche. The thing that I always say about knowing if you have a good niche is that you're easy to find. And so, like, give us a list of, I don't know, 3 to 5 either networking opportunities or places or people. Like, where do you find your people?
So first off, any rehab chiros that are into this postpartum world, return to activity, go talk to the pelvic floor therapist, because they're not really return to activity to a point, but they're mostly hands-on. So if you have that sports background and you have that athletic background, you have to take advantage of it. And that's what separates me from the pelvic floor therapist. So that's huge. And, like, no, really.
Give me your pitch, so to speak, because this is good, because it's very clear. And I feel like the way you just said that, with the level of confidence and clarity, like, you know, sort of where your place is, so to speak. So do that again for me. Like, the pelvic floor therapist, they do this very clearly. They're necessary. And I do this, and I'm necessary because of this.
So picture this. So pelvic floor therapy, right? There's prolapse. There's a lot of things I can help within the pelvic floor. I cannot go internal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chiropractic can't go internal. That should be physical therapy. That's their route. That's their thing. Okay. So then with me, and I like to explain to a lot of my women, is that the pelvic floor is not the same as, like, a bicep. It cannot eccentrically contract and consensually contract the same way. It doesn't lengthen like that. Right. So now, if the rest of your pelvis is very much not supported by the other major muscles, like glutes, we have hamstrings, we have adductors, like, everything supporting it, your pelvic floor is going to try and make up for that. So that's when it tightens up, right? So that's when, you know, women experience leakage and they experience all these different symptoms.
What other symptoms? Leakage, what else?
Leakage, just painful sex. Mm-hmm. Prolapse happens. That's usually more that there's tears that happen. Also just recovery in general after birth. Like, it's not good. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot longer. So I always tell them, like, we keep everything around in your pelvis strong. The mm-hmm. pelvic floor is going to act exactly the way it's supposed to act. It's supposed to act like a bowl with the diaphragm and move together. So, like, what I like to do, if I don't think that their pelvic floor therapy candidate, and I can just use breathing techniques and tension techniques to start off with, just to get that to relax. That's fantastic. And then I get them super strong basically everywhere else, especially core as well. So, but when I know they have more symptoms, I'm like, hey, like, we don't know if there's scar tissue. We don't know if there might be anything else internal. Like, it is so important to get internal work, from our local providers. So
as someone who doesn't know this, let me see if I can translate it and you tell me if this makes sense. So basically what you're saying is that Your job is to make sure that every single thing that impacts the pelvic floor is functioning as well as possible so that the pelvic floor can do its job and not a different job.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So I didn't think we were going to go here, but this is actually great. I'm serious.
I love it. It's so fun.
Because I love this because like it's got to be easy enough that a fifth grader can understand.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that you did, which goes into sort of into our sales script, so to speak, is the five objections. And the way that you just described it to me was it was just value for a unique solution. And I think, listen, if you thought that the pelvic floor therapists were all terrible, I get it. And we have to fight the good fight, so to speak. But like, you're not saying that. You're saying, you know, you do need to do that. And that solves this problem. However, you're also going to have this problem. And that's where I come in. And I think that it becomes, number one, you don't have to fight with anyone. Number two, you're clearly defining what your purpose is, so to speak. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. Excuse me. This almost sounds like the need for performance after like ACL, right? They get out of PT 6-8 months and like they graduate PT and it's like, this person is nowhere near return to function. It's like, there's a completely other thing that should happen that isn't really talked about. Am I sort of on the right track?
Yeah, because we can go, I mean, you can do basic dead bugs, you can do basic bird dogs, like sure. But there comes a point where you need to be able to do more. So like I had a woman who was going back in jiu-jitsu. You do a lot more stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want to run again. So there's more high performance that needed to be done with her. And, you know, you do have to have that level of knowledge to understand. And it is great to know the lingo and understand, like, you know, what their sport does. But, you know, I'm not doing the basics with her. Like, there's going to be more towards the end where there's going to be some jumping techniques. There's going to be some performance. Like, it's not like my whole thing in here, too, is like, I'm here to challenge you. It's almost, I almost say my pitch, honestly, is like, I'm a medical personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
My first phase is I'm going to get you out of pain. We're going to get you out of fast. I'm going to give you long-term solutions. And then the end of it, like, you hurt your back doing a kettlebell swing. Well, we're going to do the kettlebell swing in here. We're going to work on bell. We're going to deadlift. We're going to do all that in here so that you're confident in my office before you go out. I'm not going to make you, hey, go do it. Let me know how it goes. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think I had the conversation with Jenna Lagana today and she was almost hesitant to say like the high end strength and conditioning. And I was like, listen, there's no shame in the game, right? These people are coming to you. Your specific people are coming to you with a specific problem. And there's nothing wrong with traditional chiro. There's nothing wrong with traditional PT. However, for the types of people that you're talking about, jiu-jitsu, high-level jumping and running, we have two options. We can either do the basics and then send them to somebody else, or if we believe within our business model, it's in our scope, it's in our business model, it's profitable, and we think we're the best option, it's silly to have someone else do it. And so, At that point, it's like, if the business works and we can do that, then we should build the business around that. And what I believe is that we are so uniquely qualified because of your, you know, you have a personal training background and a sports background and a physical training background and the medical side, the chiropractic side, that again, someone wants to roll jiu-jitsu and they are postpartum, where else are they going to go? Where else are they going to go?
It was a no-brainer for her. She's like, I had my CrossFit woman too. It's high performance. It's like, yes. They don't even got an eye. They're like, yeah, I need this. Thanks.
And so the next thing that I would say as you're talking through it, this is great. Thank you. I'm going to go back and listen to this. The next thing I would say is that from a niche standpoint, actually, you know, your version of a niche and like if Strive to Move was in your town, in theory, we're actually going to many of the same places. However, the messaging is different, right? So we would go into a CrossFit event and say, like, if you have shoulder pain, you want to snatch overhead, you know, we could get a guy, a girl, whoever to do that. For you, you're going to the same group and saying, if you want to overhead snatch and you've had a child or postpartum, prepartum, like, here's the problems that you're going to face, right? So it's the same person, the same audience, so to speak, but the messaging is what changes. Yes.
Correct. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm doing workshops and I see both men and women. So it,
well,
it,
but time out. We gotta be clear. We gotta be clear because this is where actually newbies get in trouble. Right. So I want to be very clear. They get in trouble because it's like, oh, I just treat everyone. There's a difference between who you treat and what your messaging is. You are more well qualified to treat me, to treat Dell, to treat whoever, right? That it's independent. Like if I was in your town, like I'm getting treated by you, it's irrelevant to me. But that's different from the messaging that you have. Because if you go to the gym or you go to the community center and like, well, what do you do? It's like, well, I help everyone. Well, like nobody is going to become your patient. Right. So I think that is a key nuance. And that's why I cut you off, because that's why I see new grads so much and that they, but scarcity mindset, right? It's like, I'm just a general, like I help anyone that has back pain. And it's like, we can't play that game, right? We can't.
No. And I did completely change my messaging. Even on my website, I say I help women. I don't say like I help people with chronic pain. I say I help women. And especially when I do see my crowd, and even if like we're doing a back pain workshop and I didn't specifically talk about, or like the owner didn't mention like postpartum or anything, I specifically go into that, like how many people have had children here? And then they respond with like, yeah, my body's never been the same since then, but I just I let it go. And then I'm seeing them 20 years down the line. And I was just like, yeah, we don't bounce back. If you have a different body and you compensated and you adhered to it, but now this is what happens down the line when we don't address it early on. So that's how I can flip that messaging on. Like if someone else had control of that marketing message beforehand, this is where I take control of when I'm in front of them.
It's interesting because when I treated patients, I realized after a certain period of time that I treated postpartum, but I never said that because I would get the patient. Like I remember Suzanne was like, her kids were at that point, 7 and 12. She came to me with like left-sided back pain. And when I brought her in, basically everything stemmed back to horrendous post. She was active as hell. She ran, she lifted all that. But her back pain was really because she never had you postpartum. And everything stemmed from that. And so I was just cleaning up the mess, so to speak, that her back hurt and she couldn't rotate and her pelvic and her core was unstable and she had no rotation in anywhere. And her hips were like just a disaster. And so That was postpartum care. Now, again, I'm not calling it that because I'm not silly. I don't think that people are going to come to me to do postpartum, but that's what I was doing. I mean, it was, that's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's an interesting conversation and I'm glad we dove into that. That'll be really helpful for people out there. As I've always said, if I was investing in healthcare right now, people know this, I'm putting my money into your business, right? Because you have an audience that it's so clear. Like if we could shout from the rooftops and people are going to be like, I can't believe no one said this before. Where the hell is this? Why is no one talking about it? And so I know that, and honestly, the debate we're having at Strive right now, because Kaylee does this basically, but it would be a deviation from our typical marketing message. And the debate that we're sort of having internal, because we are always about being very focused, is that do we deviate from our norm because it's working? And so that's actually a debate that we're having internally about that.
And I'd say, and like I said before, especially in the rehab chiro setting, like we have pretty athletic women in our group for the most part.
Yes, right? Very.
So if you are going towards postpartum, like please emphasize the return to activity. Like that is what they're looking for. Like everyone's kind of getting into, it was funny. Someone called, like, what was it? Christina. Like Christina was like, post pelvic floor is like a fad right now. Mm-hmm. So everyone understands what pelvic floor therapy is, but then you're going to be the one that stands out. Like, wait, what does this chick do? And there's not that knowing that I have a medical brain going into your return to activity is almost like, it just makes them feel better and they feel like they're in the right hands, that they know that they're going to get where they need to be, get the outcome that they want. So anyone in this community, please. So good.
One more question before we wrap up. People that are listening to this, following me online or follow the stuff and are lurking in the background and are hesitant about doing Chirobiz 101 or joining the community, what would you tell them?
Oh my God, you have to do it. I have my friends I mean, I have my friends, they reach out to me. They're like, can you, I was like, just, would you just go to Justin? Like, I can't coach you. Like, it's not my place. And you've broken it down to like the most simple level of like how to understand it. Right. And I was like, I kind of told you before, like I kind of grown with you. I've seen you in like your beginning stages of coaching, and I take in everything you've ever told me. And then, you know, as you keep growing, you even have higher level things for us. And me and Mike Edwards were talking this morning. He's just like, this is priceless. Like this is a lifetime. Like we're in it for life, essentially. Where else are we going to go for the value that you give us and the community that we have? Like the other day when my whole back issue happened, I reached out and I was like, hey, can someone help me with this situation? I had two calls that night from our community.
Mm, wow, right? That's amazing.
Mike was like, what the heck? Like, and then I got to see Mike and Mike was in my community, obviously, but then I actually converted him.
Yeah, you did. Thank you. No, you did. And he's a PT. He is a PT.
And so you literally lay everything out. Like they're literally, you can't fail if you just do exactly what you say. And you have to practice it though. Like this isn't something like I just read everything one day and the next day I was able to put it into play. Like, no, there's a reason why I did your program before I even started. I knew like why I'm getting an employee. She keeps me accountable. I needed a coach. I have a coach for everything. So It keeps me accountable in it. And when I'm stuck somewhere, like I know I can reach out to you or someone in the group where I'm just like, hey, you know, I want to make the decision on hiring my full time. And, you know, we sat around the round table and I was just like, please explain to me why I can do this and making sure this is the right decision. And like, who else are you going to talk to about making a decision? If you're in business alone, it sucks. Like, I don't feel like I'm in business alone. I've made amazing friendships in this group too. It's been fun.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. I appreciate you saying that. And before we go, I want to make sure that I express gratitude to you because as you said, you've been here very much since the beginning. And I still remember the phone call we had or the Zoom we had where you said, like, I felt like you were speaking to me directly. Like I felt like you understood me. And I think that was something that I'll always remember as a moment that I was like, all right, I'm doing something right. And it gave me the confidence to continue and push on. Because early on, you're just putting your message out there and you're like, oh, fuck if I know if anyone's listening. So I remember that call and I remember you saying that and it gave me the reassurance and the confidence that I was on the right track. And as you said, all these years later, not 2 years later, which feels like a lifetime, but we're in a much different place. And the other thing I appreciate what you just said was that, you know, it is a core value of mine to continue to grow. And the best compliment you can give me is like 2 years ago, that was terrible. Now you're finally starting to get it. And then I hope 2 years from now, you say the same thing, which tells me that I'm just fulfilling on my core value of growth and learning all the time. So I appreciate you very much personally. You're an amazing professional. I said it to you on the first podcast, say it again. You are at the forefront. You will continue to be in this space of people who are paving the way for other females that want to be in your world, in your space. And you've shown it's possible. And at every level, you will continue to do that. And so I have tremendous appreciation and respect for you. And I wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm excited.
You should be. You've done amazing. Before we go, give us, give everyone on here your social or however someone could reach out. Find you.
At Dr. Angie _ Synergy Cairo.
Got it. Okay. So we will link that in the show notes. And if any of you guys out there want to reach out or follow along, please make sure that you do that. Angie, I appreciate you. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Justin.
All right, guys, we are at the end of the podcast, and you know what that means. It is time for me to beg you, to plead you, to encourage you that if you are listening to this podcast and you are getting a lot of value out of it, just remember and think about what could you get if you actually let me coach you live and in person, one-on-one in our group of mastermind members. So here's what I want you to do. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, getting a lot of value, but have not taken ChiroBiz 101, I want you to go into the show notes. In the show notes, we have a link. It is go.rehabchirocoach.com/strategycall. That is go.rehabchirocoach.com/strategycall. I want you to book a strategy call with our team so that we can see if you are a good fit for ChiroBiz 101. At our last count, we have gotten our clients 177% growth from that program. So if you haven't taken our course and if you listen to the podcast and get value, I want you to book that call. I'll see you later.